jewels. How does it feel to have invented the world's first and only money tree?
Money tree?
I feel humble yet proud.
I understand you had no friends just a short couple of weeks ago.
That's true, Tammy. But now I am more popular than those juvenile martial arts mutations on the half shell.
Back to the future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more, 'cause there's still things to explore in Marchie McFly 4. It's Marchie McFly 4. Can you feel it?
Happy Monday, everybody. It's the last Monday of Marchie McFly. Yes, it's March 25th, 2024, which means it is the 25th day of the fourth year of Marchie McFly. They did it. They did it again. I didn't think they had it in them, but they did it. Again, for the second episode in a row, Back to the Future, the animated series, had an episode that featured no time travel. What the F? Folks, last time, the last episode was called Brave Lord and Demon Monstrux. There were demons, there were video games come to life, and then I saw it was on October 31st, and I didn't even realize that that was, I guess, technically the Halloween episode. It almost works. Almost. This one aired the following week. It is the seventh episode of the second season, the 20th episode overall. It aired on November 7th, 1992, and it's called The Money Tree. And I'm not going to waste any more of your time talking about anything else. Let's get right into it. Let's start talking about this friggin' episode. So The Money Tree, as I said, aired first on November 7th, 1992. It was written by Earl Kress. And I don't remember Earl Kress. What else has he written? Well, it looks like he's actually written multiple episodes. He's written the next one in the series. He wrote two in the first season, Forward to the Past which I think is when they went to the Amazon, and Solar Sailors, where they finally went to the future. I think it's the only one that they went into the future with. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. And also, you know what tonight is? Tonight might be one of the last few episodes where I'm not doubling up, because as you can see, I'm only on episode 7 and we're running out of days, and I'm not doing the animated series. I'm not doing an episode on Saturday, and I'm not doing an episode on Sunday. So we need to finish all of these episodes by Friday. That's a mandate I'm putting down the law, and it's going to happen one way or another. I'm making it happen. Friday night, I'm talking the series finale of the animated series with my friend Eric, and hoping to still get Jay scheduled in here sometime this week. And then every other day, I'm just going to probably be doubling up. So you get double the episode, double the fun, double the excitement, double the animated series. You know, so it's not all great. But all right, let's get back to this episode once again. Once again, no time travel. And I say to myself, what the hell? How can they do this? Like, okay, once in a while, I guess. You know, if you have a show that's 13 seasons, you can have a couple episodes that don't actually do time travel. And the hardcore fans will be like, oh, those are the standing episodes where they stay in the same year, or you know, they're in the current time, something like that. But no, this is two episodes this season with no time travel. I'm trying to remember if there are any from last season. But two this season, two in a row. If they don't time travel next week, I'm going to, or next episode, I'm not going to do anything, but I'm going to threaten to do it. I'm going to be angry. There, I'm angry. All right, so why don't we just, like, I already said, let's get into it. I've already wasted your time. I'm going to pull the episode up. I'm going to walk you through it. It's kind of a dumb episode, but again, it's a dumb episode in a series with a lot of dumb episodes. But for the first time in a while, Jules is taking center stage. Jules is pretty much the main character of this episode. So that gave me some promise. Hey, we're going to see something different here. But it just turns out that we're getting an episode. It's called The Money Tree. So guess what it's about? Jules invents a friggin' money tree. So this episode opens just like every other episode. We get the opening credits, and then we get Christopher Lloyd. He's out of the workshop again and in front of the green screen, the blue screen, whatever. I forget. I feel like it always used to be blue screens, and then at some point it became green screens, and I don't know when that changed. I feel like it was sometime in the late 90s. When I was in college, we had a TV studio, and I think it was a blue screen that we used. It was chroma key, and it was all this old-fashioned, like, equipment. You had to turn dials and stuff, and it wasn't easy. Now you can just click a button on your computer and do a pretty good green screen, even without a green screen. But that's where Doc is. He's in the Amazon jungle talking about trees and how trees in the rainforest are being taken down for farms, and not just bananas are being extinct, but animals as well. And you know what? I have a story about a tree, and boom, that's how we get to our story in 1992. We never leave 1992. This whole friggin' thing takes place in 1992. Jules. I'm so used to saying Vern. Jules is coming home from school with his hover briefcase. His hover, like, he keeps all his papers in his hover briefcase while he's walking peacefully. Two jerks drive by on bikes. One of them happens to be Vern, and they mess up all his papers. Then Vern gets invited to this little prick's house right there. He's having a pool party. Everyone's invited except Jules. Get out of here, you big brainiac. And Vern doesn't even care. Vern's more upset that he has a hole in his snorkel. So Jules is at home hanging out with Marty. And all he has is, you know, to keep him company because he doesn't have any friends, is the ability to make a tree, a fancy tree with really fancy flowers, with stripes and plaids and patterns. Like, one of them even has moons. Marty makes a joke about like a Lucky Charms joke. You don't even have moons. And he did. But you know what Jules doesn't have? Any friends. So he's, Vern comes home. He's upset that his snorkel isn't working. He wants money for it. And Doc's like, why don't you get a job and, you know, pay it off? That's how you do it. That's how you, I'm not just going to give you money for a snorkel. So Vern goes out and throws a hissy fit, screams really loud. And for some reason, his loud screaming ruins Jules's little tree. Jules is pissed. Vern's like, well, you know what, you stupid prick? Why don't you make a money tree? You know, why don't you do something like that and have money? Or he says, I forget, something about money didn't grow on trees. I don't remember when it comes up. He's like, why don't you make money with it? And Jules is like, okay. That's it. Literally, he just goes, I'll think about that. Next day, it's show and tell, and he shows up, and that same bully from the pool party is making fun of him, and he actually almost trips him. And then Jules pulls out, here's my invention. It's a money tree, and it's like a little tree that you'd have inside your house. But instead of it being plants, it is money. I don't know if they're $10 bills or whatever. I think later we find out that each tree is $10,000, or it's $10,000 on the tree. I feel like there's only one tree, and none of it's logical. None of it makes sense. None of it is, I mean, it is a cartoon made for children and no one else. Like, they don't, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I like a show that is for kids, but is also can be entertaining to the adults, to the parents or the uncles, or the random adult who likes watching cartoons. I don't know who that would be. I like that. I like that. And I always point to some of these Nickelodeon shows. I know it's not a cartoon, but I always point to Henry Danger. That's the show that just kind of pops in my head when I think of really made for kids, but there's so many jokes there for parents as well. And it's just written in a way that even how stupid Henry Danger is, it's like stupid smartly. It's smartly stupid, bigly stupid, but good. So once he pulls out a money tree, the teacher's like, you know what? We could make a nice donation to the school. And now everybody friggin' loves Jules. That prick from before, now he's like, well, you should come over my house and bring your money tree. In fact, now that you're rich, you can provide all the refreshments to my house. And then another girl's like, hey, Jules. And all the kids carry him away. He's a friend. He's excited. Vern is even like left behind. We cut away, we come back to the facts. The Amazonian rainforest, which humans are destroying at a rapid rate, provides approximately 40% of the world's oxygen. That has nothing to do with this episode. It has more to do with Doc at the beginning with him in the forest. They're like trying to pull some kind of scientific feel, something out of this. The end at least kind of pulls it together, like the Bill Nye stuff, we'll get there. But look, now that Jules made this money tree, he's like the king, you know, king, the big fish of the family. Like, he's sitting around sunning while Marty's digging holes for trees. Vern's trying to figure out where to put the tree. I don't know why there's only one tree. Once you created this, you should be licensing it. You should be selling it. Don't sell the technology. Just say, I can make another tree. Here's a tree for you. If you want a tree that keeps, you know, make a tree that only lasts once, with $10,000 on it, sell it for $5,000, but it costs you nothing to make. So they make $5,000, you make $5,000, and boom, you keep doing it. So it feels like it's getting to Jules's head. He finally gets an episode, and, you know, he uses it to make a counterfeit ring that is turning him into some sort of, like, I don't know, Richie Rich type character. In fact, they use that line later. So Clara and Emmett come out. They're like, what are you doing digging all this stuff? And he's like, you know what? I'm sorry, guys. And him and his brother get into a little fight. He makes fun of his gap in his teeth, which I thought was uncalled for. Then I don't know what happens. We cut over and he took the kid who's a prick to a toy store. I guess because now the kid took him there. He's like, you can buy me this really cool train. It comes with the fake blood. What train comes with fake blood? What is this? What is happening? Like, who put this together? And the train is a toy train that goes by, right? It's, you know, size of a toy train. Then Jules ends up on it, and it is the size of friggin' Ricky Stratton's train in his house. I don't know how that happened, but the guy who works at the toy store, he's like, oh, you're the rich kid with the tree. And here's my daughter. She really likes you. And it's one of the kids who was kind of a jerk to him until he had money. So now everyone's coming up to him, buy me toys. And he did. He bought them all toys. So what I'm trying to tell you is this money is not just growing on trees. He's using it. He's putting it into circulation. So he definitely should be, you know, at least federally prosecuted, at least. You know, I don't know if it's going to be found guilty, but he should at least be, you know, held to the highest letter of the law. And what's worse is now he buys all these kids toys. He's like, now let's go to my house. They're like, well, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to go to back to the prick's house because he's got a pool. And Jules is like, well, being a friend is harder than I thought. And he's now he's got a full submarine in his house and he's excited to, I don't know, use that. And Clara's like, well, you can't, you know, what do you have a submarine for? We don't have a pool. He goes, we do now. And outside there's these kids digging, these guys digging a pool. He's got a whole setup with bulldozers. The parents never noticed this, you know, never noticed this until now. It seems like Clara and Emma are kind of being like, I don't know, this is a good idea. Now Jules goes outside and yells at these two guys that they're not digging a big enough hole. But that's when they call him Richie Rich. And, you know, they're a little concerned with Jules. He's like, you know what? I have an idea. Let's all go shopping. That's what he does. He says, let's go shopping with my counterfeit money. Takes him to, a Circuit City because it's 1992. And he's like, this is a big screen TV. And Doc said that, and he really liked that. And Vern goes, cool. What we should do is here, we also buy 7 VCRs. Really good investment. 1992. I feel like, no, it's still too early. We're not at DVDs yet. I didn't get my first DVD player until like 99. I remember, I think someone I knew had one in college. I think someone had one in college. Maybe not. But my first DVD player was 1999. I bought it at Best Buy. I think I spent $300 for it. I think my last DVD player, I probably paid $20 for. I have a DVD. I don't even have, like, I have a DVD drive that I paid $17 for. That's how I'm watching all these animated episodes because I have no DVD hooked up anywhere. But here's the thing. Jules, supposed to be smart, right? He's like, Father, I will buy 7 VCRs. Why do you need 7? There's one for every day of the week. What? So what? If you said we have 7 TVs, okay, then you can record 7 different things at 7 different times, you know, at the same time. DVRs can almost do that now, but 7 VCRs for 7 days? So what do you unplug one and plug the next one in? Like it's dumb is what it is. It's dumb writing that no one checks. I don't blame the actors. They're just reading the script. I blame the writers. I blame the editors. I blame everybody who created this show except for the talent. They're just doing the best with the shit sandwich they've been served. Oh my goodness. So I guess he bought all those VCRs. And then, but Clara's like, you know, I don't think this is a really good idea. He's like, really, Mom? How about a nice diamond necklace? She goes, ooh. And she's bought and sold for. Next thing we know, Jules is on TV. He's dressed up like a little sailor. He's got the money tree and he's talking to this reporter who's like talking about how excited he is. There's a waterfall in their backyard now. And I guess he's just rich. So it's on TV and who hears it but Biff? Biff overhears is like, huh, money tree, huh? So Jules is like, look, Marty, you need to help me out here because I'm cultivating my tree. It should be ready by tomorrow, but I need you to watch it because people might try to steal it. I put in a good security system. So he hooks up 2 clamps, almost like a battery, just like he did to the video game yesterday. Marty goes to grab one and an alarm goes off. He goes to grab a dollar off it. He gets punched. He gets by this giant, you know, glove that comes by and swings at him. And he's like, oh, I guess I shouldn't steal it. So great. No problem there. It looks like Clara's online at a shopping network buying stuff or something like that. I don't know exactly. But there, oh, it's a woman. I'm sorry. She's a reporter and she wants to do a news story on him all about his, you know, his awesome tree. And that's where he gets on the cover of USA Hooray. Brown turns greenback tree into gold. But once it finally hits the newspaper, because newspapers are still the cat's pajamas in, you know, 1992. Once we get to the newspapers, now the feds get involved. And I say, thank goodness they're there, because you put this money into circulation. It's great for the people using it, but then what it's going to do is it's going to dilute the dollar. It's going to bring the economy down, all because this kid couldn't go to a pool party. So the feds are there. This one scene made me laugh. He's yelling, the guy behind the desk yells at his two agents. He's like, where have you been? And the guy goes, I stopped to get a cream soda. That's it. That's the thing that made me laugh. It was the only funny thing. It had nothing to do with the episode. It's just one clever thing. While the writing on the show doesn't make me laugh, sometimes it's the acting, the voice acting. They get some good ones that do make me chuckle. So now it's nighttime and Marty is the worst security guard. Einstein's not even there. So Marty is sleeping and Biff comes up and clips the cables that are on the security system. That's all it took. Just clip the cables. There's no fail safe. There's no, you know, like dead man switch. You clip the cables and you take the tree. He takes the tree. Vern wakes up, goes out to check his tree. For some reason, Jules wakes up, goes to check his tree. For some reason, Vern is there by the hole with a shovel. I don't know why. So Jules freaks out on him. He's like, I didn't, I swear. I came out to check what was going on. Meanwhile, his mom and dad stick their head out the window like, what's going on? They're both dressed in ascots and Clara's got a crown. I mean, they are taking full advantage of this. They should all be put in jail. Jules almost fights Vern. Then he gets pissed at Marty. But then they're like, let's get Einstein on the case. He can smell the money. So he gives, they have Einstein smell a dollar bill. And Einstein leads them, points them in the right direction. They get in the DeLorean. I'm thinking, okay, what's going to happen here? What time travel? No time travel. They get in the DeLorean. They drive away. They chase. I forgot. Doc has a thing so Einstein can stick his nose in it, and then the smell can be smelled from the front of the car. The giant nose comes out. It's really dumb. And they race. Now they're racing so fast, the cop chases them. So Doc flies to get away from the cop. Finally, they find the back of Biff's tow truck. And there's the money tree. The money tree's in the back of the tow truck. They go to try to get it, but there's a bridge abutment. So Biff tries to drive really fast to the bridge to kill all the Browns, including the children. They let go of the money just in time to fly away. Doc's like, I need to go turn myself to the police for resisting arrest and for speeding. So that's nice. We go back, and now Biff has the money tree. He has the money, so he uses it to buy a beautiful double-wide trailer with two TVs in it, and boom, that's when the feds show up. They are about to arrest him. They're about to take him away, and because I guess it's whoever has the money tree. It's not who's creating this, and I don't know why if Jules can make one, he can't make two. I don't know why they're just like, oh, he took that one. Oh, well, let me make 600 more. Let me have a crop, a row, a full friggin' field filled with money trees, but no. This seems to be the only one. And he takes the money to go buy the trailer. The feds show up. They jump on him. They grab all the money. And then the money shrivels up like a leaf. And the money just disintegrates. And it turns out that the money disintegrated. So since there's no money, there's nothing Biff did. And since Biff didn't actually do the transaction, I guess he's not arrested. So the feds leave. I do like that all the feds look exactly the same. Kind of like an Agent Smith type thing. But it begs the question, if the money shriveled up for Biff, did it shrivel up for everything Jules did? And shouldn't the companies now report a loss and go after Biff? Go after Jules? None of that happens. Nothing at all. But I guess apparently, no, I'm sorry, Biff, I guess he did accidentally sign the contract. So now he owns he has to pay his own money to get the trailer. I don't know. It doesn't matter. We go back to Jules. He doesn't have any money anymore. There's going to be a pool party. And the kid's like, I still don't want you here, Brainiac, now that you don't have any money. And he's like, you know what? I don't care. And the girl's like, you know what? I don't care either. I want to hang out with you, Jules, because you're cute. And like, great, let's go play video games. And Vern's like, okay, cool. I'm still going swimming with that jerks. And he still goes to the jerks pool. Vern is a terrible little kid. But Jules, not much better. He is a counterfeiter. He's basically a felon, if you ask me. So now we jump back to Doc. And guess what Doc does? Do they learn their lessons? No. Now Doc is holding an actual, well, not an actual, but live action money tree. It's not a real money tree. It's not an actual money tree, but they created an actual tree for the live action moment. And he's like, I'm trying to figure out a way to better cultivate it so the leaves don't shrivel up and last longer. So he's still trying to keep with the counterfeiting. They didn't learn their lessons. They didn't learn anything. And all the money that's out there must have shriveled up. So again, none of that makes sense. I hated this episode. It was very dumb. And then we get to the best part of the episode, which he goes, oh, you can make your own tree at home. And boom, I didn't know this. So I learned something. Bill Nye makes a tree with a friggin' avocado. So he cuts the avocado. You take the avocado seed, you put some toothpicks in it. Then you balance it over a cup of water. So it's part of it's in the water. A couple days later, you're going to start seeing like roots and shit coming out of the seed. All right. And they're like, cool. And a couple days after that, there's even more. So now you add it, you put it in some soil and boom, you've got yourself a little tree. The seed breaks off so you can get rid of the seed. You put everything else into the soil. And in a couple of years, you have your own avocado tree. And then it shows a few years later, Bill Nye, they should have given him a mustache, a beard, gray hair, something. They just said it's a few years later. And now you can have your own guacamole and he's eating guacamole and chips. And now we jump back to Doc and he says something. I don't know what it was and I don't care. And that's the end of this episode directed by John Hayes. It was bad. And, you know, no time travel. I was going to do a double episode today. I pushed it off and I'm glad I did because I don't want to make you have to listen to something else after you've been so gracious as to listen this far. If you're one of the few, the proud who have. Not great. I thought yesterday, I still think yesterday might be the worst. But I don't know. Today was rough. It was a rough one. So hoping for better things tomorrow, but I said that yesterday and look where I am. I'm going to have my fingers crossed and we're going to do this again tomorrow. But until then, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. The Facebook page is Fans Not Experts. The YouTube channel is Fans Not Experts. And the website is fansnotexperts.com. That's it. I'm done. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'll see you tomorrow. But until then, here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality is what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.